I can tell you Swimtastics, that building was purpose-built for it, and the discussion was had, is this a good thing for the location? Is it a good thing for the business park? Is it a good location? That's a healthy discussion, as opposed to here's an industrial building that is an obvious industrial building with an industrial purpose. Now it's going to be an educational academy for that's used in the evenings only. Would it be better suited as an industrial building with an industrial user during the day? You know, it's just conversation. It's just healthy. That's all. Commissioner Hogan, Commissioner Danny, Alderman Danny.
I just can't make a decision on this for a simple fact as I can't speak to the applicant. With 40 people, 40 kids, how are they, I don't see how they're going to be able to have an operation there without having a problem with traffic and there. I mean,
we can certainly
either deny it or
table it or table it. Or
whatever. That's what I would like. I would like to table it, try to get his input, give him a chance to come and explain how he thinks that this can work. That's what I need to hear.
Alderman Dandrea.
I mean, I'll also make an additional comment. A parallel to Commissioner Leon is there's a Central Bark just up the road from there, okay, that was in an industrial, that is in an industrial used building before that was purchased, and now they have a dog daycare inside, okay? I am not related to it. No. I am not the owner or related to it, even though I am involved in a Central Bark in another community, okay? But we have utilized other buildings. Has it affected negatively the value of that building? I would say no, it has not.
Okay? Well, my question is
so,
not.
But my concern is, now the FedEx building, with the FedEx trucks that are delivered, okay, the hours of operation are going to be from 9 to 5. But my concern is similar, parallel to yours, in regards to there's not enough parking for the stated class size use on an evening. So that's where, if you are looking to want to talk, are we postponing the inevitable? Do we deny it right now?
Well,
Commissioner Hogan.
My question was, or my comment wasn't, I don't like it in this area. Concern was. My concern was 40 students. I don't know how many are there. If it's from 5:30 to 9, and I know all 40 students are going to be there at that time, and they might. I mean, 10 of them might be there on Monday. 10 of them might be there Tuesday. You know what I'm saying? That's what I need to know. Is there going to be enough space for the parking? That's what my concern was. I don't really have a problem with it being in the industrial park, and again, we could talk about that, but I can't give an answer or a vote on this until I hear from you.
Well, I am not going to speak for the operator or the owner of the business, but I do know at Altius, I do know it's fantastic. Yes, some users do stay with their students, or their kids, and watch, but there are a lot that drop off and go and do something else. So, but I'm not going to put answers in the owner's mouth. So,
I'm going to blow up his Central Bark thing. The reason why Central Bark is very good where it is because it provides. I'm going to use the term. It provides an essential service for the people who live and who work in the business park during the day and need a place for their dogs.
Well,
it's a perfect service for that. It's the same as if that was going to be a FedEx drop-off location. It's a perfect spot for a FedEx drop-off location, a retail location in a business park. But is that a good location for a wrestling academy? I don't know. Maybe we should table this and talk to the guy. Commissioner Leon.
Just clarification, maybe this is one other reason we need to table it. But is it 40 per class? Is it 40 per night?
You said 40 per class.
So
multiple classes per night.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I can't speak for them as well, but given that time period, it's going to be several classes. So during that time when one class is ending and there are pickups and another class is getting ready to begin and there are drop-offs, I think that may further compound the parking issue. Granted, it should be after the hours there are any FedEx deliveries. So that is less of a concern to me. But, the parking certainly seems to be a concern. So I
parking and traffic flow.
What's that?
Yeah. Parking and traffic flow.
Yeah. So if there aren't any other comments or questions, I would move that we table. But I don't know. You see some hands moving if there are any other concerns. I'll make a motion if there aren't any other.
To
table. I don't know. If they'll be able to attend the meeting, I have the same concerns. Will they be
tabled to the request of the applicant?
Yeah.
Is that no?
To a meeting date, next meeting.
If we go to next meeting, we don't know if we'll be.
Do we know what the calendar looks like for the next meeting?
May 7th.
How does the calendar look?
We have Bear Development CSA.
Okay, next meeting.
We just filled it up.
May 7th.
So the motion is tabled to May 7th. All those, any. And is there a second to that? D'Andrea seconds?
Yep.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. We heard you, Adam. Okay. No?
Sorry.
We got two more. What are you guys hanging around for?
Nowhere else to go.
All right. Okay, with that, we move on to a public hearing regarding the project plan boundaries and creation of tax incremental district number 8, City of Franklin, the district. Mr. Martinez.
Will be Callie Burr.
Ms. Burr. I keep doing Miss, and you asked me to do Ms.
Potato, potato. Okay, Regulo, can you get me set up with the project plans?
Yes, sure.
So while Regulo is doing that, for those of you who may not know me, my name is Callie Berg. I'm the Director of Economic Development here at the city. And this evening we have two public hearings, and I will read each of them out loud, and then we will get a chance to talk about them while Regulo gets them situated and ready to go.
Number 6 or 8?
First one will be TID number 8. Mayor, would you like me to read the public hearing notes?
One at a time. One, discuss, take action, then the other one.
Absolutely.
Number 8.
Notice of public hearing and joint review board meeting regarding the proposed creation of tax incremental district number.
No joint review board.
It's read the plan commission part. It's both in one.
It's both in one. Okay. Starting over, notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will hold a public hearing on April 9, 2020 at 7 p.m. at the Franklin City Hall located at 9229 West Loomis Road for the purpose of providing the community a reasonable opportunity to comment upon the proposed creation of the project plan for the district. The proposed boundary of the district will be within an area generally detailed on the map below, or on the map shortly to be on the screen. The district is expected to be a mixed-use district based on the identification and classification of the property proposed to be included within the district. Proposed projects costs include various public improvements and cash grants to owners or lessee or developers of land located within the district, development incentives, and professional and organizational services, administrative costs, and finance costs. The proposed costs include projects within the proposed boundaries and within a 1/2 mile radius of the proposed boundaries of the district. All interested parties will be given a reasonable opportunity to express their views on the proposed creation of the district, the proposed boundaries of the district, and the proposed project plan thereof. A copy of the project plan, including a description of the proposed boundaries, will be available for viewing in the offices of the city clerk at Franklin City Hall, located at 9229 West Loomis Road, during normal business hours and will be provided upon request. Such such hearings shall be public and citizen and interested parties shall then be heard. This hearing may be adjourned from time to time by order of the City of Franklin, Wisconsin, published March 25th, 2020 and April 1st, 2020.
So as a broad overview, this is an overlay district on top of what exists current, generally what currently exists as TID 4. And we're going to Ms. Gunderson Scheel.
Yes, Dawn Gunderson from Ellers has joined us on the conference call. Dawn, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. Good evening, Dawn.
Good evening.
Would you please...
Kelly, I'm not seeing it on Zoom, so if I lag with you, I apologize.
Okay.
Or if I get ahead of your screen, I apologize.
I will let Regulo work on that. All of the commissioners have their hard copy packets. Let me get mine as well.
So only take a second.
Can you see the screen now?
My Zoom says the host has another meeting in progress and it hasn't let me in.
What?
It's the appointment that I had.
Okay, let's go ahead and try coming all the way back out and then come all the way back in. Let's go ahead and get started. Yeah, we'll talk about the overview, and then when we get to the financial analysis piece, hopefully we'll be back up and running.
Okay. So did you want me to take it from here, Kelly?
Yes, if you would, please.
A few more comments. Okay. So this is tax increment district number 8 for the city, and it is an overlay of the business park that was previously known as tax increment district number 4. We're not overlaying the entire boundaries of what was previously district number 4, but a vast majority of that. The Joint Review Board, or the overlapping taxing entities, convened this morning for their organizational meeting at 9 o'clock, and that's the first step in the creation of any tax increment district within the state. So as you've got the copy of your project plan in front of you, I'm going to kind of walk through a few of the pages from start to finish. I'm not going to get into every detailed page, but on page 4 of the project plan is a executive summary. And within this, we talk a little bit about the type of district that's been created in the area and the overall project cost. So the district comprises about 671 acres, and we'll show you a map of that area in a moment. But with the incentives and infrastructure costs that are proposed or planned within the area, we would anticipate that the potential for build-out is additional $125 million of new property value within the city. The estimated project costs to do that, again, include infrastructure costs, development incentives, and then any fiscal administrative costs. And approximately $39,000 is the total of all those dollars. And if all that is incurred, an estimate of $125 million of development value. So I'm going to move forward then to the actual area of mapping, which can be found on page 7 of the plan, or excuse me, page 8 of the plan. So that area in purple on the map is the boundaries for a tax increment district, complete and full parcels need to be included, and so the outline is around the parcels that will be identified within the tax increment district boundaries.
Dawn, are you able to see Zoom?
No, I am not, but do you want me to just reconnect to the appointment that I had?
Yes, please.
Okay.
I'm asking Marion to check as well on her end.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm able to.
But if you want to keep going, you can. I'm just concerned.
I've been seeing the same message here on the screen since the start of the meeting. I've just been following along in the packing material.
But you got a brain there.
I'm wondering if somebody else is
trying
to get on.
Yeah, I'm still getting that host has another meeting in progress. It says a 7 o'clock planning commission.
Let me try it.
All right, well then, keep going. I'm sorry, who was that?
Haley.
Do you have a packet?
Same message here.
No, your packets aren't here.
I've got the material, but the Zoom isn't working.
All right, well then, let's just follow along with the packet.
Okay. Then, and as far as in the plan itself, we have a few other maps. There's a map on page 10 that shows just the existing uses. That's a requirement of the state for the development of a project plan. On page 11, we've actually listed all of the parcels, the property owner, the acreage of each of the parcels, and the value of the district area. As I mentioned earlier, this is 671 acres that would be included in the project area number 10. It does have some existing development on sites there, so there is some value for a base of about $45 million. The one of the tests that's required, that's on page 12 of the document, is that no more than 12% of the equalized value within the city can be located in a tax increment district. There's substantial capacity within the city for the creation of this district, and we're well within testing parameter. The next several pages of the project plan are narratives of all the types of expenditures that can be undertaken. We kind of explain this. We leave it a little open-ended so that if projects, since the district life will be 20 years, we can't necessarily contemplate everything that might be needed within the area to promote development, so we kind of leave the opportunities there, so an amendment would not necessarily be required if something new came along and it fit within the overall budgetary amounts within the plan. As I mentioned, a vast majority of this relates to infrastructure improvements. So if you look on page 21 of the plan, there's another map that kind of lays out where the water, sewer, street type of improvements will be, are planned to be undertaken. Jumping then ahead to page 23, this is a large area with a substantial amount of infrastructure improvements necessary. So it's kind of difficult to say today exactly what the absorption of development will be in the area. The list of project costs here is, in summary, about $39 million, about $12 million of that is interest in cost for financing, as well as administrative expenses. But the infrastructure and the development assumptions, we do know that there's a project that's underway now, or discussions for a project that about $4 million of incentive might be necessary to entice the development. And the balance is related to road improvements, utility extensions, power line relocations, property acquisitions, demolition, environmental remediation. While we've earmarked and identified timing for these projects to be undertaken. I want to just strongly make it clear that costs will be undertaken in relationship to the absorption or the development opportunities that arise and the timing of those. So while we have identified years here, our goal is to illustrate the feasibility analysis of the overall district. But this is not necessarily a commitment of when those projects will be undertaken. They will be done at the pace of the need for that development. So in commenting about that, we'll move then to page 25, where again, we kind of laid out some absorption for the area. There's about 258 acres outside of the initial builder development, which we've identified $25 million of value, and that's that first project that I mentioned. The remaining 258 acres, we've, for forecasting purposes, we've assumed about 35 acres a year of the absorption level. Again, if that is moved quicker or slower, the infrastructure costs would be incurred with that similar pace. So again, this is just forecasting estimates at this time. Obviously, over a 20-year period of time, things could happen faster or slower. With those assumptions in place, on page 26 of the plan, we build the model for the projection of available increment or tax revenues that would help support project cost. So this is a mixed-use development, and the mixed use would be an assumption of a commercial and industrial development. It would hold a 20-year life. We've made some projections that they're of appreciation on the value of about 1% a year. That's probably too conservative in the perhaps the near term, and maybe less conservative at other points, but or more conservative. But for now, we've modeled that. We've also shown a reduction in the tax rate of about 1% a year. Again, that may be reasonable now. We may see that hold off to be more constant tax rates as we move in the future. But as economic growth in tax base is moving along quite high now, it forces the tax rates down. So with these assumptions in place, the columns in orange are the projection of revenue. It's anticipated that over the life of the district, it would generate about $43 million of property tax revenue. It's that tax revenue that will then support the project cost that would be undertaken for the development to occur. Moving then to page 27, again, this is kind of the financing plan. It coincides with the date of the previous schedule of project cost. The city will always reserve the right to determine what type of financing tool or mechanism it uses to pay for costs. For this modeling, we've assumed that there would be debt financing. If the projects can be undertaken with the cash flow of the district, that would be wonderful, but on a conservative level, we've assumed that the city would have to go out and borrow to raise the capital to do these projects. So this would be the timing of that, with estimates for any cost to undertake those debt issues. Again, that timing could change at the pace of development.